everyone, welcome back to FC Podcast. I'm Simon Scott. Cheers for hanging out with us for an hour or so as we discuss the biggest stories in the world of football this week. Cheers for spending a bit of your time with us today. If you love this podcast, be a friend, tell a friend, share it with everybody you know. And if you didn't like it, just act like it never happened. That's what podcasts are all about. Bit of a change up this week as James is once again on his holidays. We will be recording next week as... Well, it makes changes. I'm on holiday. He's a jet-setting man. He likes to travel the world. Well, travel whatever's on the green list in the UK. Very busy time of year for us, and especially for James when he's the Bond villain jet-setting across Europe. Mr. Carlsberg, how are you, sir? What has happened since we spoke last?
Not much, really. We had that dramatic final day to get top four where we lost to Villa and Spurs bowed us out and got us top four. I don't think I've ever I don't think I've ever celebrated a Harry Kane goal like that, apart from England, in my life. Same for a Gareth Bale goal. I was running around the office screaming.
I can imagine you were, mate. It was you were very lucky to get away with it. Let's be honest.
Oh, so lucky. And then something happened last weekend. I'm not sure what though.
Well, we'll get onto that in a sec. Liverpool ended up finishing third. Would you believe?
It was the Alisson goal, mate. It changed everything.
How did that happen? It just changed the whole destiny of the season, didn't it? Yeah, it's funny old game football, but it's why we love it. Now, let me just scratch my head. I can't think. Why would a diehard Chelsea fan be in a decent mood this week? Oh, right, yeah. Somehow, Chelsea are the champions of Europe for the second time. Most definitely now the biggest club in London because there's more European Cups in Chelsea than there is in any other team. I'll get straight to it, fella. How were you Saturday night?
I was in a state, mate. I was in an absolute mess. I was really emotional after full-time whistle went. There were some tears. There was of happiness, just pure joy. I had a smirk on my face that just couldn't even be wiped off. You'd have to dick me to get it off my face. I'm still in cloud nine. Just unbelievable.
Yeah, I had James staying with me up in Manchester, and I won't lie to you, we were both hoping for a Man City win because we wanted, you know, the festival of the city to erupt. Where I live, you could actually see them testing the lights of the Etihad, and when the full time whistle went off, they did actually have a lot of fireworks. You know,
we were just like,
well, we've spent all the money on them, set them off. Yeah,
it's a bit awkward, isn't it?
It is a bit awkward, but it's, you know, if they spent money on it, you might as well. What they're going to do? Put them away for a bit. But I don't know whether fireworks have a sell-by date. But yeah, it was a really surprising game for me. It didn't surprise me that Pep made some weird and wonderful changes because it's Pep. He likes to overthink in the big games. Only the second final he's ever lost in his career. It was a really quite entertaining final, I would actually say. Thomas Tuchel won the Champions League in his 30th game with Chelsea.
It's mental, isn't it?
It is a little bit mental. I've heard all of these different stats being thrown around and just the madness of a Champions League final, obviously, like everything that goes off in it can be very cagey games. I'll ask you, mate, what did you think while watching the game? Like, was it what you expected?
Yes, no. I thought he was going to go with Sterling because the way Chelsea defend is our centre-backs just push up and get tight with the attackers, which leaves...
Yeah, Rudiger coming forward.
Yeah, Rudiger just flies straight out of the blocks. And what it does is it leaves so much space behind us. And I thought if there's any player in that Man City squad that can utilise that and take advantage of that, it'd be Raheem Sterling. And you saw in the first half, it did work to an extent with that long ball by Edison. It played Sterling right through. Reece James just completely got lost. And thankfully, he managed to catch up the ground on Sterling and put a block in. And they were looking dangerous from those moments. But I don't. In the second half, we sat back a lot deeper once we got the goal. I was surprised with how we really took the game to them in the first half. Like, really did. And Werner, okay, he missed some big chances. Should have had two, at least one. But he had Stones on ice, mate. He was dragging him all over the place. And that was one of the big game changers for us, especially in the first half, was the runs that Werner was making.
Yeah, that's something that I know a lot of people, myself included, have criticised Werner for, you know, his goal scoring. But that's not necessarily what he brings to this Chelsea side. Yeah, at Leipzig, he was the main man. However, he was playing off a striker and he was making those terrifying, blistering runs in and behind. It's a shame he finds himself so offside. I think it's like 14 goals he's had disallowed this season. Handballs, offsides, all sorts of stuff. Could have been a 30-goal, 10, 15-assist striker returned potentially this season if things had just gone his way just a little bit more. But in the final, it did surprise me, the choices that Pep made. I had a feeling that he would play Sterling, even though Sterling's not been informed for the exact reasons that you've pointed out. But I think one of the things that Man City did lose, not just their goal-scoring threat from their attackers, but Gundogan flying into the box, playing him as the six, I think actually took away one of Man City's more dangerous elements of their team this year. And I was surprised that a Man City side that has blitzed some teams, I mean, they beat Carlo Ancelotti's relatively uninformed Everton 6-0 in their home game. For them to have one shot on target against a Chelsea team that, like you've stated loads of times, does have a lapse in concentration, can be got at from behind. This game's narrative for City did not follow the picture that I thought it was going to follow.
Well, it's like he went from one extreme to the other, didn't he? Because I think it was the semi-final at Wembley, the FA Cup game, where he played Rodri and Fernandinho against us together. And that didn't work. He was a little bit too defensive. So in the Champions League final, he ends up benching both of them. It just didn't make sense. Because like you said, what you did there was you just limit Gundogan.
Take away one of your big threats.
And if Fernandinho plays, I'm not sure that goal happens. Because if you watch the goal back...
No, I was just about to say that Diaz
completely away from Stones. And Stones is left completely isolated now on his own with Havertz. But there's a giant gap for Mount to pass the ball through to with Havertz making the run. And if there was a holding midfielder there, he'd be right there in front of the back two. And because Diaz has been dragged by Werner, Havertz now just had that free range on goal past Stones.
Yeah, and to be fair, I thought Havertz took his goal very well. I loved what he had to say at the end of the final. I wish footballers could be more candid and speak their minds like that. Stepped up in a big game.
Werner was character as well, if you've seen his post-match.
Yeah, I think... both will have really good seasons next season. Just before we move on to what I'd like to talk about after this is where's the Premier League going to be next year? Is like my big question that I would like to ask. Reece James, I thought, put in a world-class right-back exhibition in the final. I thought he was absolutely incredible. And also as well, one of the sides of his game that we've not seen a mega amount of, which I would like to see more of, is his forward play. I think you've got a real player on your hands there, and you've got to thank Frank Lampard for bringing him and Mount through. I've got another question for you after this, but what did you think of Reece James's performance?
Oh, I thought he had an outstanding game. I thought both him and Chilwell were just superb. I thought the whole back line was brilliant, and especially Chilwell and Reece, because they had to really deal with the likes of Mahrez, Sterling, De Bruyne moving all over the place before he had the bad injury. I thought they had outstanding games. I thought they were great going forward. Reece has proven that he can play in a back three and as a right wing back. He's better as a right wing back, don't get me wrong. Because he's got a good cross on him. Now, I'm not saying he's on the same level as someone like Trent, but the main thing that's impressed me this season with Reece is how he's improved defensively. That was always the biggest question for him. And he's starting to show just how much of a talent he really is.
Oh, he's an exceptional talent. I really do think the world's his oyster. If he didn't have a player named Alexander-Arnold to contend with, I think he would be England's right back for many, many years. But before we move on to the Premier League chat and what we think might happen next year, we've also got the Euros as well coming up. We've got the England squad that's just been announced. One narrative that I saw online on Twitter, which I thought was really quite interesting, was how Frank Lampard needs a lot of credit for this team that's gone on to win the final because a lot of young players have come through with him. But I didn't see a similar sort of narrative with Vyacheslav Boash when he was released and replaced with Di Matteo. And I've seen a lot of people on Twitter actually crediting Maurizio Sarri for letting Kante become more of an all-rounded midfielder moving forward. Ballon d'Or-esque performance in the Champions League semi-finals and finals for me and N'Golo Kante. Probably the finest midfielder in the world at the moment. And all of these different aspects that have come together to create this now Champions League winning Chelsea side. Would you say that Frank Lampard needs a lot of credit for the journey they've been on? Or has it been more down to Tuchel turning this team around and creating the champions of Europe for 2021?
There's two things to answer there. The first thing being Kante. It's funny about Kante because if you go back 6 to 8 months ago, a lot of Chelsea fans were thinking he's just dropped in form from the levels he once was under Antonio Conte. And I'm not sure if Sarri deserves a lot of credit for that, for Kante transforming, because he's always been like that. But I think Tuchel deserves a lot of credit for playing in a two. If you looked at Kante's success over his career with Leicester, he was playing in a two with Drinkwater. When Chelsea won the league under Conte, it was a two with either Matic or Cesc Fabregas. When they won the World Cup,
he was brilliant
France,
when he was with Cesc.
Okay, you've got Matuidi as like an additional midfielder playing on left. But a lot of times, he was playing in a two with Pogba. And I think Kante thrives on when he has, he can play deep, but also the ability to run around in front of a holding midfielder. I think Sarri was trying to get him, not as a playmaker, but as a proper box-to-box. And I'm not sure if Kante was developing into the player Sarri wanted of him. So I'm not sure if you can give him full credit for that.
Okay.
I do think Tuchel deserves a lot of credit for Kante. Not necessarily Sarri, because I felt Kante's form, albeit he was still a top player in the past couple of seasons, under Sarri and maybe Lampard to an extent, his form wasn't as great as it was when he was playing under Conte.
Yeah.
And in terms of Lampard, I think he deserves some credit, but not a lot of credit. He deserves credit for getting Chelsea top of the group in the Champions League group stage. He deserves credit for bringing through the likes of Mount, Abraham, Reece James, Gilmore. I mean, the list continues. I'd say Hudson-Odoi, but Sarri started to give him a couple of starts. Sarri was kind of hell-bent on not playing him at times. So, okay, I'll give Hudson-Odoi to Lampard as well. And there's been quite a few other players coming through as well.
Well, look at Tomori at AC Milan. He was giving him opportunities.
But he's still giving him opportunities. Something happened there.
Yeah.
So I'd say, yes, give him some credit. But I do think Tuchel deserves a lot of credit here, because he's managed to get the senior players playing at a much higher level. If you look at Rudiger under Lampard and compare it to under Tuchel, it's night and day difference. It's the same with Christensen.
Oh, the tactical astuteness that they've developed in the past few months or so has been quite frightening. One of the quotes that I saw regarding Thomas Tuchel's performance at Chelsea was in Bild, actually. And Ralf Rangnick has come out and said it takes 6 weeks to turn around a football team and turn them into a really highly cohesive team ethos unit. And you must say that Tuchel has done that. And PSG now must really be looking at that and be kicking themselves a little bit, really, because they've hired a manager in Pochettino that's got to a Champions League final. Now, Tuchel's got to two back-to-back separate clubs, the first man to ever do so, and has won it as well against a City team that was, you know, Pep's all-conquering, soon to be, you know, the peak of the project, and it's put them in a bit of a spin. It's really set the footballing world on an interesting momentum. So the big question I've got for us now is, what is the Premier League next season? What beast have we got to look forward to? We've got a managerial cocktail of fun. We've got Lampard, who's out of a job. We've got Everton, Crystal Palace, Wolves, Tottenham, all looking for managers. You've got clubs like Celtic that are looking for a manager as well. You've got teams in the Championship like West Brom that are currently without a manager.
But Celtic aren't getting the same kind of caliber managers as the other Premier League clubs.
No, but we have to consider them in the shake-up, because one specific candidate that might be linked to, say, a West Brom or potentially even a Wolves or something. You know, obviously they have their Portuguese contingent with Jorge Mendes. But a manager of a good ilk will go to Celtic and eventually move on like Brendan Rodgers has done. Look at the job that he's done at Leicester's been.
Well, Celtic seems to be getting that manager from the A-League, the Australian manager. I'm not sure who he is. I haven't really heard of him before. I don't know what's going to happen there, but it seems that's where they're going.
There's a lot of a contingent coming out of Australia at the moment. We've had a couple of talented players that have come through the league. I mean, we've had like, you know, Tim Cahill. But on top of that, you know, we've had Matt Ryan, who's now the backup goalkeeper at Arsenal, but is a good goalkeeper. Aaron Mooy, who was at Huddersfield for a time. I'm not sure where he's at now. But
Wolves seem to have got their manager sorted now as well. We're just waiting on official confirmation. That seems to be
Bruno Lage, yes, ex Benfica.
Yes, that seems to be the one, and that seems to be a similar ilk under the. I'd say maybe the Mendes era is a bit harsh, but that seems to be where Wolves are kind of sticking to their guns here.
I mean, they've got an away kit that looks like Portugal's flag.
Yeah.
So it's not, you know, out of the realms of possibility of them getting a Portuguese manager now, is it? The big shock for me, though, out of all of these managerial things, is Lampard was linked with Crystal Palace.
Yeah.
And now it seems that Nuno Espirito Santos is going to go to Crystal Palace.
But he's had talks with Everton
relieved
now
of his duty at Wolves. But now he's having talks at Everton as well. And
a man in demand.
The big shock for me, not only a man in demand, but a man that didn't seem in demand, Carlo Ancelotti, has now returned to his promiscuous mistress Real Madrid.
Didn't even get a chance to finish saying we'd like you to come back to Real Madrid, and the geezer was already on the plane.
I know, it's been a bit of a shock. I've seen a lot of reaction of Everton fans are absolutely gutted. You know, a manager of that quality.
There's a very sour taste there, isn't there, about him leaving.
Because, you know, obviously it's
like, and you can't help but feel for
wasn't necessarily. He wasn't necessarily booted out of Italy. He left Napoli after not really taking that team to kick on. But I thought at Everton, there were some results that were quite poor. Some of the improvement that he's had on players, like Calvert-Lewin under Ancelotti, I thought found relatively consistent form.
There was also his comments last month where he said he wanted to see out his contract at Everton and be the Everton manager when they move stadiums.
Well, that's all gone absolutely tits up. I do feel quite sorry for Everton because they were on the cusp of quite an interesting project. And now you've got almost three or four managers' players in that squad. And even when like Martinez was there with Lukaku, and that to me was like the signifier of, oh, this Everton team might be going somewhere. But with signing like Alan Decore last year, they've got Richarlison, they've got a lot of players there that just seem to have poor James, he follows Ancelotti everywhere he goes and then he dumps him.
He ain't going back to Real Madrid, is he, old James?
He's not going back to Real Madrid. But it's unfortunate that, you know, he's followed him there and Ancelotti's then buggered off once again. I don't think they've ever had more than a season together with each other, but they've had like three or four seasons at three different clubs.
Yeah, Real Madrid, then Bayern Munich, then Everton.
An interesting,
and he was always
interesting relationship.
Well.
Yeah. So what do you think about where Everton go next then? Because obviously they're talking to Nuno. There was a bit of a rumour that they were going to even approach Steven Gerrard, which I thought was...
That would be one of the funniest appointments of the summer. I'd love it to happen just to see your reaction. The disgust in your face.
Well, look at my face. Well, listeners that are enjoying this, wherever you are right now, my face is a bit like... My mouth's open.
He's just eating a lemon.
My eyebrows are frowning, and I'm just like, what? Just makes no sense. It'd be like Frank Lampard suddenly just becoming the Tottenham manager.
Wouldn't happen, mate. Just wouldn't happen.
It won't happen. But that's what I mean. It seems so ridiculous. But Everton are an interesting prospect because of the squad that they've got. But the managerial position that is the big numero uno question mark is Tottenham Hotspur.
And they're into Antonio Conte.
This is what I mean. After all of the discussion last week of Maurizio Pochettino, you've got, you know, renowned Spurs fan Danny Kelly on TalkSport getting all emotional about Poch potentially coming back. Daniel Levy's obviously like throwing a bit of an olive branch to Spurs fans to try and stem the hatred that is going on at that club, because it's not been a brilliant season.
I just don't understand the Mourinho
experiment.
The whole reason
did not
he
work.
Left Inter Milan was because he felt they weren't matching his financial ambitions.
But this is where I actually think it gets interesting, because is it Ratinieri, the old Juventus director that was relieved of his Patrici? That's it, Renetti. I don't know who that is. Patrici. He was Juve director from 2011 to 2019, which meant he would have served with Conte until he took the Italy job.
Yeah, 2014.
Yeah. And he's been approached once again. He was approached a couple of years ago.
Conte's
with a similar sort of project.
Apparently.
Conte's asked for him. So this is the thing, is if Antonio Conte now goes to a Spurs side that is potentially going to get over 100 million in transfer money for Harry Kane, you've then got quite a few interesting players that are there. You've got young players, interesting players. You've got Moussan Dembele. You've got Ndombele, sorry. I've got Bergwijn, who's there as well, who came in. They've not really amazingly kicked on, but with a manager like Jose Mourinho, it's either going to go one way or the other. Now, for Conte to come into that sort of side, play a 3-5-2, there are the players to do that. I think Heung-min Son would benefit from potentially being the lead striker, and he could do in that position. He would need somebody to play off. But with 100 million transfer kitty potentially coming in for Harry Kane, that's going to spark so much movement across Europe, and Spurs might actually land on a bit of a winner with that one, depending on who they bring in. But a Conte with a stadium, one of the world's best stadiums, filled with fans that are backing him, know how important a manager he is. I mean, look. But that's the thing. You can't see Conte being there for longer than a couple of years, because something will happen that will make him go, do you know what? I'm done. I mean, look at the project he had at Inter Milan. He had everything working for him apart from, you know, the heavy investment that managers these days want in a squad.
He walked out of Inter Milan. And the only reason he didn't walk out of Chelsea was because he forced them to sack him.
Mm. Yeah, they forced his hand, didn't they?
And
yeah.
All three reasons have been because of financial transfers.
So why would he go to
Spurs,
side
where they've got massive debts because of the new stadium, and Levy doesn't want to spend money?
It's going to be a very
flash-in-the-pan sort of thing. With a lot of bang average players on top of some very good players like Ndombele, Son. I like Reguilón. You've still got the French.
I like Reguilón. I think he's a good player.
But Alderweireld is past it. Eric Dier, the name says it all, mate. Sissoko, not a fan. Lamela, he might get a tune out of him. Bergwijn's decent. Lucas Moura's decent. Obviously, you've got Harry Kane, top three striker in the world.
You've got to think about Harry Kane isn't a Tottenham player anymore. He's going to go.
Like, is he though?
He simply must. He must go. After all of the faff and all of this, for Harry Kane to leave Spurs as a 31, 32-year-old, go somewhere and do a Van Persie. Yeah, that's great. But
Van Persie
like,
leave when he was like
Harry Kane, he even said in that interview,
I swear Van Persie left when he was like 29. And the difference here, the main difference between Van Persie and Kane, because there are a lot of similarities. The main difference was Van Persie was able to orchestrate the move because two reasons. A, Arsenal weren't willing to give him a new deal. And B, he had 1 year left in his deal. That's where it's different.
Yeah, there's 3 years on Kane's deal.
Kane's got three years left. Spurs don't have to sell, and Levy will just price him out of a move, I think.
It's going to be a really wild situation.
To benefit in his career.
It all depends on who pays it, though. And I think that's, like we were saying, what's the landscape of the Premier League going to be next year? You've just got Chelsea that have just won the Champions League. You know, Azpilicueta and Hazard signed after you won in Munich, and they've been absolute stalwarts until Hazard left last year. I felt a bit sorry for Eden Hazard, wanted to win the Champions League. doesn't Michael Owen, goes to Real Madrid. The year he leaves, they win the Champions
League. No, he left in 2019. He's been there two years.
But still, you know, it feels like he's only been barely one played. He's only for, one year.
He's probably even, I don't think he's even played half a season amount of games.
No, I don't think he has. I don't even think he's got to like 30 games yet, has he?
Yeah.
She's quite sad, really, of a player of his ability. What an unbelievable player Hazard is. But looking at the landscape of the Premier League, I mean, Liverpool have just signed Konate. You've got Van Dijk coming back. You've got Henderson that will be coming back from injury as well. Thiago, I think, will be more influential on that squad. I can see them almost potentially moving into a two-man midfield with Fabinho and Thiago.
Oh, and Henderson dropped.
A roaming four. I can see...
Rotation.
Him rotating a lot more.
Between Henderson and Thiago.
I can see him... Yeah, I can see a bit more rotation. Fabinho being the one that is the stalwart and
so
the, Thiago.
So do you think you could be getting a striker with Firmino dropping? Dropping deep?
I'm not too sure. I'm really not too sure, honestly. The Liverpool one is interesting because it relies on a lot of players leaving. It requires Shaqiri and Origi to be sold, good money to be made for them. There's loads of players out on loan.
I don't think you'll get good money for them.
Successful. Mate, 15 million for either of them. You know,
each? That's no way, mate.
Yeah, mate.
No
you'll get that.
Way.
We sold Jordan Ibe for 18 million to Bournemouth.
Different,
I think we'll different get 15
times,
million
mate.
For
different
Arena.
Times.
I think you'll be surprised. I think you'll be surprised.
Mate, Chelsea's going to struggle to shift some of our deadwood.
Yeah, but you're not going to sell Tammy Abraham to West Ham for 50 million. He's still a 35... million pound player, so it's not out of the realm of possibility that Origi and Shaqiri.
We're struggling to sell Emerson for 17 million.
Well, yeah, it's because he's not worth 17 million.
But he's an Italian international, mate.
Origi ain't worth 15 mil. Oh, well, I look forward to having the conversation when we sell him for 20. Yeah, but you won't get 10 mil. 10 mil's about right for Bashwai.
15 million ain't about right for Origi or Shaqiri right now, mate.
I'd be surprised. See, it was a very Michael Edwards, director of football at Liverpool, thing to do. So it'll be interesting to see. I mean, like Gruitch, who's been on loan at Porto, he's been rumoured to be a £15 million player. Harry Wilson, that's been on loan as well at Cardiff.
He's had a bad year, though.
He's had a bad year.
You would have been able to get some money he's from not been off his the standards. Derby loan. Not off this season's loan. He's had a bad...
Yeah, so, but still, like when you add all of those players up, there is the, in my world anyway, there's the potential for a 50
well, maybe
million...
maybe this year's lineup
of players
has been better than the Bournemouth one. He weren't good at Bournemouth.
No, well, that Bournemouth team wasn't very good.
Yeah,
either.
They were pretty garbage.
So, which doesn't help.
A lot of bad boys off Liverpool.
Well, that's what I mean, 15 millions. 50. We got, you know, I can't believe it. We got Brad Smith, Jordan Ibe and Dominic Solanke, and we got 50 million for all three of them.
Mate, we got 60 mil for Oscar.
I know. It's unbelievable.
We got 25 mil for Ramirez. It was the best highlight of that season, the 15-16 season.
Where is Ramirez nowadays?
I think he's retired now. He was in China.
No. No.
I think he's retired.
Ramirez hasn't retired.
I think he retired this year.
How old is he? No, he's 34. Bloody hell. Ain't time fly.
You remember, mate, we bought him in 2010.
Where is he playing now? Let's have a look. So, yeah, he only had 26 appearances for Benfica. He was one of those, the Cruzeiro. 159 appearances for Chelsea. He's now playing at Palmeiras.
Oh, he went back to Brazil. I thought he retired.
No, he's still playing. I just don't think he played last season. No, he's not. He's not got a club at the moment. He's been without a club for the past year. But he hasn't retired.
Oh, right.
He specifically hasn't retired. I wonder if it's been because obviously in Brazil, COVID's been horrific. But anyway, we were talking about the Premier League. So we've got Chelsea on the up. We've got Liverpool who will come back better and a bit more fierce, I think, this year. You've got a Man City side that could potentially add Harry Kane to that ranks. So I've been seeing somewhere as well as that they might offer Tottenham 80 million and Raheem Sterling.
Cool, you'd take that. You'd take that, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you would. I definitely would. I think Raheem Sterling's got...
In this country, you'd take that.
I think, Sterling. You know, a Spurs...
No way a City team doing that. No way in hell. But
I see a Spurs team of Heung-Min Son, Raheem Sterling, and potentially, you know, a 60, 70 million pound striker, if that's what Spurs want to go and do. 60, 70 million pound striker.
That's the issue, ain't it?
It's difficult, isn't it? Because there's a teams with so many needs this year.
I thought Chelsea were going to get a striker, but I'm not sure if that may happen now.
Yeah, well, you were linked with Lukaku, and then suddenly he said, "You know what? I'm okay."
Yeah, which is fair. I wonder if Chelsea will stick with Havertz and maybe going for Sancho.
Do you think? Do you think they'll
and keep Havertz as the
front
full
three
striker.
Of Werner, Havertz, and Sancho would be? It's very. Very Bundesliga of a few years ago, that isn't it? But I can definitely see that working.
And when you look at Arsenal, the other way.
Yeah, you've got Arsenal that are really struggling. You've got Spurs, like we've just been alluding to. You've got Spurs.
Arsenal seems, if you believe the reports, a lot of players will be leaving Arsenal. So you've got Luis that's left. William's going to be leaving.
Yeah, he's already left, hasn't he?
Roma are linked with Xhaka. Guendouzi could be on the move. So Bios has gone back on loan. Gone back to Real Madrid from loan.
Odegaard, I saw Bellerin might also leave as well.
Bellerin could be on the move.
Who's going to be left? Like Emile Smith Rowan.
Saka. Aubameyang.
Which surprises Partey, me. I thought this might be the Gabriel, year. I thought after the year Tierney. That Aubameyang's just had, I thought he might get moved on.
Oh, he's got such a big contract now. Who's going to take these wages on?
China.
Not at the moment, mate.
Send him to China.
Not happening at the moment, mate.
No. So, but like, yeah, there's so many clubs that are going to be moving and shaking up around in the Premier League. What do you think of Brentford making it into the Premier League? A notorious moneyball club buys young stars or players that
brilliant in the playoff
don't
one.
Work.
I thought it was great value. That Tony shot within 20 minutes where they could have been 3-0 up, we hit the bar out of nowhere. I thought, Jesus, they'd gone 3-0 up.
Funny thing about that Tony play shows their ability of recruitment. Sold Ollie Watkins to Aston Villa and have bought.
Mate, they sold Maguire to Brighton and then replaced him with Ollie Watkins. Then sold Ollie Watkins to Aston Villa and replaced him with Ivan Tony.
Exactly, and then you look at they've moved Benrahma on as well to West Ham. Think about the team that this. Well, even look at as well, like Tarkovsky's an old Brentford player. There's lots of them dotted around the league. They've almost been like a Championship academy feeder club for some of the lower teams in the Premier League. I wonder whether they'll continue to fit that model. But I would really like them to keep hold of some of their players and get into the Premier League and be a consistent player in there, because Brentford have been one of the more entertaining, interesting clubs in the Championship for the past decade, and I'd really like to see them in the Prem, just like I've been dying to see Leeds in the Premier League and them doing so well this year. Shame about Sheffield United. I thought they were brilliant the year before. It's sad to see them go down after such a shit season. But yeah, after the year we've had and everything being a bit flat and games not having fans and stuff, I felt, now that the season's finished, I felt an excitement for next year. It's felt like there's lots of interesting narratives going on. There's lots to discuss. There's lots to, you know, give a shit about, which I would say I've struggled with football a little bit in this.
Oh, here we go. Liverpool makes up four. He's back in it again. Here we go. He's loving it.
I've just not enjoyed football for a while. I've enjoyed...
He went from Liverpool looking like they're getting Europa League to putting the Europa League theme in the Hall of Fame to buying a membership to Bayern Munich, becoming a Man City fan. Alisson scores a winner.
I'm not a
big
Man City fan.
Liverpool get top four. And straight away, I just think there's so much to look forward to next season. I mean,
you'll never... No, yeah, mate, I'm an emotionally inept man.
You're a disgrace, mate. You're an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, it's all right. I'm fine. I'm happy with that. I like being a disgrace. It keeps people entertained.
Oh, yeah. Blue moon.
Blue moon. So what are your predictions for next year then? Do you think the top four is going to change or will it still be City, United, Liverpool?
It's very hard to say right now because we don't know the business the clubs are going to do. It's going to be very dependent on that. But if I was a betting man right now, or if you had a gun to my head, I'd say it'd be a three-horse race between City, Liverpool and Chelsea. I think United need a couple of players in there. I think Norwich will go back down.
Yeah.
I think West Ham will be very lucky to finish in the top eight. I think they're going to struggle next season unless they get bodies in, because I don't think they've got the squad that will be able to cope with the demands of the Europa League.
Nah, they need Lingard permanently, don't they?
They need more than that, mate. They need a striker, they need Lingard, and they need a couple of bodies in there.
Okay. What about the teams that were pushing a little bit but fell off, the likes of Leeds and Everton? Everton, their
I'm
managerial
intrigued by what Leeds were doing this summer. Decisions it's a championship team, or the majority of it is a championship team pushing way above its weight due to a brilliant tactical manager and a great work ethic. If they can add some more quality there, I don't see why they can't finish or push for a top eight higher Europa League. I mean, it all dependent on Bielsa. It will be dependent on if Bamford can retain the form, continuing it into next season, and what additions they bring. Everton, I think that will be dependent on the manager they bring in, and again, the recruitment, because I think some of the recruitment Everton that I've had has been good. I think Decore was a good signing. I think Allen was a good signing. Digne was a good signing. I do think there's been a lot of poor recruitment that has pushed the club not backwards, but stagnated, because a lot of people don't realise this for some reason. Everton have spent a lot of money. They've got some big financial backing behind the club. They should be pushing above their weight where they are right now.
But really?
It's been down to poor recruitment. See, this is what makes me chuckle with Sam Allardyce. He bangs on about how he was never back to Everton. He had a January window. He spent over 50 million. 20 million on Theo Walcott. 30 million on Chet Tosan. How can you sit there and say, oh, I wasn't backed?
Yeah, it's poor.
What was it? 35 mil? 34 mil on Iwobi?
Yeah, it's a lot of players that have left the top six clubs that have gone with like top six money. But you go, they aren't really the players that you're going to take off the top six that are going to turn you into a top six.
Richarlison's numbers are not good enough for a player of his quality as well.
Yeah, he's a bit of an anomaly for me.
15 goals a season in the league. 10 to 15 goals a season. That's what he needs to be aiming for.
What kind of player is he? I haven't figured out what he is yet. Is he a winger? Is he a second striker? Is he an out-and-out striker? What is he?
Well, that's the thing. I'm not sure if Angelotti figured it out, because before last season, he was saying, I'm challenging him to get 15 to 20 goals a season. I'm saying, well, he didn't even get close to that, did he? Like, not even...
I don't believe so, no.
That's it. I'm looking at last season. 7 league goals in 34 games. He's got to be doing better than that, mate. He's got...
It's not
when you had Barcelona putting in bids of 70 million or something, there is a player there. He cost, like, what did he cost? 40 million or something? 50 million?
40 from Watford. Yeah, 40 from Watford. Yeah, Marco Silva brought him with him.
They need a better return from him. Calvert-Lewin's a great Premier League striker, but they need more. They need a centre back. That's what they need.
He's like Ben Godfrey's a good player. And, you know, he's just been into the England setup. He's a decent centre back, but Michael Keane has
started on England, mate.
Really dropped off.
How on earth did he pick six centre backs above Tomori? Six. You're telling me the likes of Ben White, Godfrey, Michael Keane, Tyrone Mings, and Connor Cody have been better than Fike Tomori this season? A guy that's been playing week in, week out for an AC Milan team that's just got top four. Oh, and by the way, he's replaced the captain of the side and knocked him out of the team in Roman Ugly. And Southgate's... And then, what was it? Southgate's reason
out of
was
all of those,
he's not versatile enough. Tomori's played in the back three at Chelsea and AC Milan. He's played in the back four at Chelsea and AC Milan. Oh, and he's been used as a right back in his career as well.
He's also got the ability, I believe, to play as a CDM because he's good enough with the ball at his feet.
Yeah, he's a ball-playing centre-back.
He's a ball-playing centre-back.
I don't get it.
This is the thing, is like, when I look at England's setup, with the 26-man squad that they've done. I feel sorry for Trent after getting injured in the game last night. He looks like he's hyperextended his knee, which is unfortunate. Whether he'll be back for Liverpool at the beginning of next season will be...
He's done for the Euros now, surely. Worry. I didn't see the injury, but by the sounds of it, it was hamstring
As he kicked the ball, it was very obvious that as he landed, his knee hyperextended, like he had the full stretch of the back.
So it wasn't... Was it a muscle or was it a knee injury?
It's difficult to say. There was nobody near him, so he cleared the ball, and as he put his left leg down, almost like you could see the back of his leg just overextend.
Oh, that's even worse.
Which is a very similar sort of...
He's done for the Euros, but he'll be fine for pre-season. If it's a knee injury, or
a hamstring injury, it could be big trouble. But the way that England played last night against Austria, yeah, England games aren't always the most entertaining. International football isn't entertaining unless it's really tournament football. But I liked the idea that, you know, Trippier is playing almost like as a right centre-back, and then you've got Reece James or Trent Alexander in front of him to cover the defensive frailties. And it's a bit of that German sort of system where it's like you have a four at the back, but they move up and slide across, and it's interesting. It's not where I think we're best, because obviously England's strength is going forward. So
yeah,
I mean, you're shaking your head at me.
I'm not a fan. I know he's got... I know regardless of last night, he's going to rock up in the tournament five at the back. It's going to be probably Trippier, and then either Reece or Walker at right centre back. If Maguire's fit, he plays. If not, he'll play probably Mings or Cody. Doesn't matter. They're both average. And he's going to play Stones, and then he'll play maybe Luke Shaw or someone like that, left wing back. And then he'll probably be Rice. And if it's not Henderson, it'll be Phillips as a two-man midfield. And then now in Southgate, there'll be Sterling,
like seven players behind
Kane
the ball,
in the middle, and Mount on the right. So he'll be playing Mount out of position, and he'll be benching Sancho and Foden. Brilliant. I have not got much faith or optimism for this tournament. I'm excited for the tournament. I'm not excited for England.
Yeah, I'm absolutely gassed that it's the Euros.
They're going to make hard work of this group.
I needed it.
And then they're going to go out in the last 16.
Ugh.
But then if we finish second in the group, it'll probably be easier for us in the last 16.
I was going to say, I'm found that we've discussed a lot of us points. Is there anything that you wanted to talk about specifically?
Any transfers or stuff? I mean, or the end of the season with how La Liga, Serie A ended. So I don't mind.
There's just loads of question marks, isn't there? Just like loads of question marks. Like when you look at La Liga, like obviously Aguero's gone to Barcelona. Wijnaldum might be there. Eric Garcia's already signed. Depay as well.
They've got Emerson coming from Real Betis.
Oh, they're bringing him back, are they?
Yeah.
All right, okay. So when you look at that squad, you go a bit like,
I can see where
they're starting to work on stuff. Yeah, exactly. It's all very good on paper, you know, football manager terms. Great signings all look good, but in actuality, putting it on the pitch, will it work?
Oh, no, I don't mean the balance of the first team. I just meant they got to balance it out by getting players out the door.
Oh, right. You meant financially.
Yeah, because
financially.
Yes, Aguero's on a free, but there's still a signing on fee. There's still high wages. The same for Depay.
Have you seen how much money Alaba's on a week?
Oh, mate, don't. It's like 410, 415 grand per week.
420,000 euros a week. 420,000 euros a week. Bloody hell. I think the most that Bayern offered him was 16 million over 3 years, and he's now going to get 25. Over four.
No, it's a 5-year deal.
Which 5 years? Oh, even better. He's going to be there for the rest of his life. It's an interesting prospect. What's going to
happen? I think he's five. Does it mean his contract will end when he's 34?
Which is about the age of Madrid's cusp. I think now that Ancelotti's gone back there, he's talked about Bale
Ramos
potentially coming back and
it's like
doing
he's
a job.
Never left. Someone needs to tell him that Ronaldo's not there.
Yeah, well, you look at some of the players that are there. I forgot Isco was there. Forgot Asensio was there. There's
Lucas Vazquez has just been given a new contract extension. He did have a very good season, to be fair.
But that's what I mean. There's a lot of really talented players there. I think this is the first time that they've ever had a Spanish squad for a tournament and there's been no Real Madrid players in the squad.
Yeah, Ramos because of injury, but Nacho didn't get picked.
Yeah, they're going to start Laporta.
It looks like Torres.
Understandably. And the Torres, and potentially even Eric Garcia has been rumoured to have started with them in a three. And I don't associate Spain playing with a three. I feel like we're the world has turned back into the 1990 World Cup. Everyone's playing 3-5-2 at international level again. So it's, I don't know. It's a nice time to be a football fan again because there's actually, we have no idea what's going to happen. It's not like there's a game every 2 days.
If you told me
how
Spain line up,
like,
I'm not even completely sure.
I almost got a bit of football fatigue, quite honestly, because not enough was changing for me. So I'm glad that everything's up in the air again. Makes it all the more interesting.
Have you seen the French team from last night, how they're lining up on paper? Jesus Christ. They must be the clear-cut favourites. So it was Lloris in goal. The back four was Pavard at right back, Varane, Kimpembe, and Lucas Hernandez at left back. And they've gone for a diamond. So the midfield three diamond is Rabiot, Tolisso and Pogba. Griezmann as the number 10. And the two strikers up top, Benzema and Mbappe. And you think Kante will come in for Tolisso?
Yeah.
What a team.
Rabiot, Griezmann,
the front three, Griezmann, Mbappe, Benzema. And then Pogba and Kante in midfield. And in the back four, it's a solid defence.
Quite easily, if that's not working for you, you can take Griezmann out and then put a Dembele on the wing.
Oh, he scored last night as well. He came on.
Well, there you are.
Yeah, and they've got a
France are my favourites for the tournament. France are definitely my favourites for the tournament. Though they've got a very difficult group. I think the Portuguese and Germany.
The three for me.
Really entertaining.
I think France are the clear-cut favourites, and then the two behind, I'd say, are Portugal and Italy.
Italy look fierce.
Have you seen? Did you watch the video really, how they really introduced the squad?
No, I haven't. I haven't watched it. I remember you sending it to me, but
so it was on national TV.
I had a weird time. I dropped my phone, didn't I? So
it was like something from Eurovision.
Lost all my WhatsApp messages.
It was basically them just sitting there, one by one, in their like Italian waistcoats with the Italia badge on it, and the people were just performing musical acts for them. And some of the players were getting involved. Like there was a rap song where Immobile, Donnarumma, and Insigne were adding the vocals to the chorus for it.
Jesus, that sounds cringe, but...
And then what we had was Southgate saying, I'm starting a player that's not going to the Euros tomorrow. Bit different.
Why?
Bit different.
Why? Just don't get it. I just don't get why you would do that.
It's nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. You've got a 26-man squad. You can't even use the excuse that the Chelsea and City players won't be there. That's just five players. You want a 26-man squad.
I would have much liked to have seen just different players playing in there. You could have even have given some of the strike, like the backup strikers, you could have had a Sancho in there, or just don't get why he's gone that way.
You got Calvert-Lewin,
it's a shame that Greenwood's... Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
But the thing is,
almost like
he's now got four players in that squad that's going to the Euros, and I'm including Trent here, that have got injuries, I think. Maguire, Henderson, Trent, and they say Rashford's been playing with an injury for the past month or so.
It looks like he's been playing with one for 18 months.
But he was good in the first half of the season, I think. If you compare the numbers.
Yeah. Like, this is the thing that I find about Rashford is his numbers are good, but when I actually watch him on a football pitch,
his numbers haven't been good in the second half of the season, to be fair. He's dropped.
The numbers at the beginning
clear that
are
he's playing with an injury. Because he just doesn't look anywhere near as good.
Well, that United teams need it. We didn't even talk about Man United. It all depends on who they sign.
What
a penalty
shootout. Jesus Christ.
Can we talk about that, please?
It just went on.
I've never seen a more consistent team take penalties like that Villarreal team.
Yeah, but United's were good as well, to be fair. Apart from the Luke Shaw one. And he got a little bit lucky there.
Yeah, he got very, very lucky there.
All of them were good penalties, pretty much. No one missed apart from De Gea.
He basically like pointed at the corner he was going
to. Yeah, you can't blame him. Like, if you lose a penalty shootout because it went to your goalkeeper and he missed, what can you do? I mean, he's not Manuel Neuer.
Well, actually, there you go. It's like, said, oh, well, what could he have done? Well, he could have saved a couple. He didn't even look close to saving a penalty.
Yeah,
he's not saved a penalty in like 5 years.
In my opinion, he did better than the Villarreal goalkeeper. There was a few from the Villarreal goalkeeper where if his hands were stronger, he was saving some of them.
Yeah, there is that, but at least he went in the right direction.
Some of those penalties were good.
Could have saved a penalty.
Some of those penalties were good. It's just an unfortunate stat where he hasn't saved a penalty since 2016.
Yeah, and Henderson saved 6 this year. You're just like, play him. What do you think would have been De Gea's reaction if Henderson had been subbed on with a minute to go? Why did Ollie's leave his subs till the 100th minute of the game?
I mean, De Gea's reaction would have been that fucking fax machine back in the day. I could have been at Real Madrid now.
Could have won 4 Champions Leagues.
Yeah. Oh, Navas, he's an underrated goalkeeper, ain't he?
Oh, I don't know. He's put on a bit of a show when PSG and Real Madrid played each other a while back.
Mate, you don't play at his level for that long.
It's just because he's short. It's only because he's a small goalkeeper. But Lloris is a small goalkeeper and he's...
Are we talking about De Gea or Navas? Because I think Navas is a great goalkeeper.
Oh, Navas is a fantastic goalkeeper. Yeah. But when you put him and De Gea next to each other, there is a considerable height difference and one does look more like a goalkeeper. But Navas is... His just reactions are just second to none.
Yeah.
He's a great player. And also, he's got that bit of shithousery that I like in a goalkeeper. I like a goalkeeper not to be like mental.
It was all kicking off between PSG and Real Madrid and he was winking at Courtois.
Exactly. He doesn't give a fuck, does he? That's what I mean. I like a bit of that in the football. I like a bit of that in the football.
You almost started speaking in a man accent there. What's going on here?
I've lived here for 6 months, pal. Honestly, I'm a chameleon. No matter where I live, my voice just is always tweaking and changing. It's because I moved school so much when I was a kid.
Just add that to the list. That's a violation.
Yeah, just put that in your ammunition.
Yeah, violation.
Put that in your ammunition. Well, I've had 2 haircuts now in Manchester, so that's it. I'm in.
No, another violation.
He's had a haircut. Oh Jesus! Yeah, I've trimmed my beard off today. I was a bit worried that I was like gonna cut it off after lockdown after 6 months and there'd just be like a roll that had been hidden underneath it that wasn't there, but luckily it's not as bad as I thought it would be. I thought I was gonna take it off and it's because we like the little chin just rocking underneath.
Just speaking to you guys,
right.
Remember me,
like, what, son? Just like really the old taxi neck, you know what I mean? You've been sat in the car so long and neck's become part of your chest. Yeah, that's what I was a bit worried I was rocking under the beard, but thankfully the Gattuso is gone, but I'm all right.
He was looking at the beard going, sometimes maybe good, sometimes maybe shit.
My weight is sometimes a... Yeah, exactly, yeah. Exactly, mate, exactly. So that's everything I've got on my notes today, fella. Is there anything else you want to add in before you jet yourself off to the old office?
A shout out to Christensen. That's one thing I'd say, because when Thiago Silva went down injured, heart and mouth moment, you're thinking, shit, no. No. You see Christensen coming on, you're like, he's been good, but he's still got a mistake in him. He's still lightweight as fuck.
Oh, Rudiger levelled the old playing field by body checking De Bruyne.
Oh, that really was
filth.
It was like De Bruyne ran into just like Colossus.
He's done him dirty there.
The X-Men. But yeah, Christensen didn't put a foot wrong. You didn't even notice him, which is a compliment. I'd say that's the biggest compliment I could have given him for the Champions League final. He left, he came on for Thiago Silva and you didn't even notice the difference.
No, it's always a good sign, isn't it? When a player goes off injured and just he settles in seam. I have to admit, when Thiago Silva went off, I worried for you because obviously he's the big organiser at the back for you guys, which is something that lack of concentration is your weakness. So, yeah. Well, what a time to be alive. We're moving him in the football season. We've got the Euros. It's 2 weeks away.
Why couldn't James be here to congratulate the champions of Europe?
It's funny that, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's funny that. Well, it's a shame. It's a good job there's no tournaments on next week, because obviously there won't be another episode because I won't be here. But then after that, we're going to be starting our Euro specials where we're just talking about things.
It's about time. I feel like we've had some important going on weeks in the Euros. And we ain't been around for covering it, mate.
No, I know. Life's just getting in the way, pal. Life's just getting in the way. It's difficult
funny,
when
you don't know this. I've been on piss-ups the past couple of weeks. Chelsea getting to the Champions League final, beating Real Madrid. I still turn up for the podcast.
I know, fella, but unfortunately, you don't have to sit and edit it for a few hours.
Mate, hang on a minute.
I'll go away
I've
and do all that
much
business
as commitment
with it.
As Timo Werner here, mate. I'm always here. I'm always ready to put
well,
a shift in.
If you want, pal, I'll send you the files. You can do a bit of edit at work. All right, yeah, well, I'm what would I be? Like Kante, I'm just a bit everywhere.
That is way doing too it, ambitious for yourself
doing,
there, son.
Doing many way roles, many, ambitious. Many roles. Oh, well, what can you do? Well, everybody,
like
thanks everybody for listening
out,
right to the end.
You've put an excellent
I'll take
in,
a genie.
Off now.
I'll take a genie. I've put a shift in for a very long time and I finally decided I'm off. Nah, it's all right. Fair play to Genie. He's a class lad. He's an absolute
You'll miss
class
him
lad.
Next year.
Well, savage. Well, Jack's got to go to work, so that's all we've got time for this week at FC Podcast. Thanks everybody for listening right to the end. And if you enjoyed this podcast, please share it with your friends. Be a friend, tell a friend, get it out there. If you didn't like it, meh, it never happened. Get in touch with us on our respective Twitters and Instagrams. Follow us on the link below. Have a great week, everybody. See you next time.
Oh, but it did happen. Champions of Europe, we know what we are.